Well, I don't know who told you or who taught you about the Lord or about faith. But Paul wrote a letter to Timothy. And he said it was in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. But he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned or the genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God.
Hallelujah.
That's the gift of faith.
Amen.
Which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear,
Amen.
But of power and
yes.
of love and of a sound mind.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Be not thou therefore ashamed
Praise
of the testimony
Jesus.
Of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not only to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing that was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. He wants us to hold fast that good thing. This is that good thing.
Amen.
Sound doctrine, word, and faith in his word. We hold fast to it, Lord Jesus.
There is no fear in my love. For perfect love casts out fear. And those who come before me must believe that I am and am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me.
Hallelujah.
For know this, that if you'll ask of me, I will give unto you all that which is yours by inheritance, beginning first in this place, which is the children's bread, to receive such great purging of the Father. For this is a great joy, so few of my church knows. For those that have entered into my chastening have also entered into my rest, saith the Spirit of grace. Therefore, when you learn this secret of my purging, you all the more will run into this place. For this place does not hurt, as has been described by the world or by your enemy. The pain that comes from this place is a pain that brings forth life and brings forth a desperation that cannot be satisfied by any of the things of this earth, but only finds its quenching inside of my spirit, saith the Spirit of grace. For know this, that the walls of defenses that you've placed up in your mind against the accuser of the brethren, know this, that those walls come down in my purging and are replaced by an absolute confidence that who you are, not of yourself, but who you are in me, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, my class, say, and I say unto you, these things, these things are not fact. These things are truth. These things are not fact. They are truth. These things are not fact. They are truth, saith the Spirit of grace. Therefore, when your enemy brings forth facts from the past, know this, that the truth that you dwell in is far greater than facts, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Well, I was just coming to ask you to pray for my sister. My brother-in-law called a good while before church and said that she was under a real attack at sciatic nerve. She was down in the shower and couldn't get up. And then we got her on the phone and just weeping and weeping from the pain. But what happened?
For about a year and a half, I've had trouble with my back. And over the last couple of months, it had gotten pretty severe sciatic nerve. And I don't want to talk about the pain very much, but just to let you know what the Lord has healed me from. Amen. The only time that I could stand for any length of time was here on Sunday morning during worship. And I would even look back at Gerald and let him know I'm okay. Because he knew that for about 3 months now, I haven't even been able to blow dry my hair standing up. It was just too painful. And I would, during cleaning the house, have to go lay down and put my feet up. And over the past week, I called him this past weekend and told him I can't make it from room to room. You're going to have to come home. I couldn't hold the grandbaby this week. And I knew I had asked the Lord several months ago, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to be up on that stage on Sunday morning. And I knew that it was a battle all week and it would come to being here. And so last night I couldn't get comfortable at all, just in severe pain. And this morning I went in to get ready and Gerald found me in the bathroom on all fours and I couldn't move. And I felt so defeated. And I said, you're going to need to call Brock and let him know we're not going to be at church. And so as I laid there, Gerald gave me the phone and Brock prayed. Just a peace came over me, a calmness and a peace. Thank you, Jesus. And I got up to start walking around, and I couldn't walk around for more than 5 minutes, that it would just hit me so much I would need to lay down. And I started walking. I could walk for 10 minutes and I was fine. Thank you, Jesus. I started to lay down because the pain was there, and the Lord said, get up, you're healed. You don't need to lay down. Don't give in to the enemy. And so I went in and I started getting dressed. For the first time in about 3 or 4 months, I stood and blow dried my hair.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Walked out and said, thank you, Jesus. Gerald, I'm going to go to church.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. Get up there and worship Him.
Yes, Jesus.
Glorify His name.
You know, one of the reasons why that we receive so little is because we think too much of the healing in a wrong kind of manner. We make too big a deal of the miracle. And I'm not talking about as a big deal as in that it's not precious, and that you shouldn't get down and just worship the daylights out of every miracle, whether it's yours or somebody else. Worship God for it. But you, it tells you where we're all at and where the church is at. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, a miracle. What do you think a Red Sea crossing is? But is it any harder for Him to do that than to just reach inside of your body and manipulate something, put it back where it's supposed to be? Do you get where you live in a real small world? That's where most of the church at large has been. See, miracles and healing is, to put it this way, it's just common. It's just the bread. We're not asking for anything special. Miracles of any sort, even cancer going. You live in a small box and you think, I'm just believing God. He's going to do it one day. He already did it way back then. In fact, the more you get on an edge where you're riding a high horse, I think there needs to be a little bit more godly pride come back in the church. Or let's say it this way, a godly arrogance. Like, oh yeah, He'll do that. I thought you was talking about Him doing something really, really special. You mean to take sickness out of my body? In fact, that wasn't even given to the fivefold. That was given to Mary Wallpaper and Joe Public. But if you get where you live in a small box where everything is a big, major thing to you, but if you live in a place where miracles and healings, just that's just the children's bread. Okay, now that we've got the bread, let's go on and fix some souffles and some big stuff and some big pot roast and some T-bone steak. God doesn't think that miracles are His greatest work of art. God thinks that's the children's bread. He thinks His greatest work of art is seeing the masses come in and get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and go on to love God. Now, I'm not condemning anybody, because He's certainly not. Because I'm preaching to myself. Here's the thing. If you make healing something special, like, oh, I'm trying to get there. That's the way it'll be. It'll always be trying to get there. If you make miracles something way out there, but if you think on it like this, that's just common stuff. It's to be praised and thank Him for it. But this is just bread. This is just what I'm supposed to have every day. Hallelujah. That's inheritance. These kids, when they come in the house, nobody ask. Nobody ask, can I have this in the refrigerator? Nobody ask, can I have this in the pantry? If you don't lock it down, if you had it from the night before, if you don't lock it down, it's going to be gone. Do you think I'm going to say anything about it? Because that's just theirs. Because me and her gave birth to them. And any of the rest of them that we didn't, they're ours. But they don't come in there and say, oh, I want to thank you, 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 thank you for this peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or this chicken that was barbecued, or these SpaghettiOs. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? They might say, thanks, Nana, or thanks, Papa. Do I expect any more? No, because that's just theirs. Now be very, very thankful to Him. Worship Him for everything you get. But take on an attitude like, wow, this is mine. He bore in His body my sicknesses so that at any time, day or night, I could step up and say, wow, this is commonplace. This is mine. We're going to prepare our hearts now for communion to take together as a family in just a few moments. But Before we do, would you turn with me to John chapter 17? I would appreciate that. How many enjoyed that wonderful testimony we heard this morning of the healing power of God? And Deanne was talking about her stand of faith and getting up and going. And I remember Kenneth Hagin years ago, if you heard his testimony. Just a, how does he say it, a Baptist boy? Saved, filled with the Spirit, laying on the bed of a, the Holy Ghost talked to him. He's laying there and he said, I call myself healed. Whatsoever man believes when he prays, believe it, you'll have it. And the Holy Spirit said, well, sick people don't lay in bed. He said, what? He said, if you're well, sick people don't lay in bed. So he said he got up. He had to respond to it. He got up, and as he began to walk it out, totally whole. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Well, you got to do something. You got to do something. You say, well, I can't move. Well, can you wiggle your toe? Can you bat your eyes? And see, the greatest thing that you ever had was the tongue that was given to you to worship God with. You could move a whole world with your tongue. But then again, if it was cut out, could you do anything? Yes. You could confess. In fact, you get born again with your heart. It's with the heart man believeth into righteousness. That's why you're laying there in a coma and somebody talks to you and they can hear you on the inside. They'll never be able to. Did they die? Go to heaven? Yes, because you got a witness that they're hearing you. And on the inside, you know there's a response. Sometimes there'll be a tear rolled down or a clenched hand. Some denominations will tell you if they couldn't move their mouth and confess with their tongue. No, they confessed unto that righteousness. But it's with the heart man believeth. The confession was made. Otherwise, if you found a mute tribe somewhere in Africa where their tongue was all cut out, they're all destined to hell. Because they can't confess. Well, Pastor, you're messing with my mind. No, I'm just telling you, get away from religion. If you can believe it in your heart, that's where it takes place to start with. And then the full circuit is made by the confession unto that. Hallelujah. So it works the same way with healing, the children's bread. Well, I feel better, but it ain't all gone. How much is gone? I don't think even half of it. Well, the residue will go too. If you got even a smidgen of it, the residue will go, but you got to start acting like it and talking like it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for those amens. Bless me. Pray for me. Father, I receive your grace and life. I thank you for this which we're about to receive, the communion of the Lord's Supper. I thank you for his body and his blood. Lord, we read these things. We thank you for his ministry and this Last Supper and everything in it. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. John 17, this whole passage starts in John 13, but we're sure not going to go all the way back there. This is that last sit down that Christ has with his disciples. But the last of his words are in John 17, as they've broke it down for us. And he says in verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, and glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto these men, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now just stop right there for just a moment. Isn't it amazing that Jesus could have prayed for the world, but he didn't? He prayed for his disciples. See, that tells you right there that even God, the whole mindset there is this. The revival is hinged on people that know him. He can't go and get people who don't know him because they don't know his voice. They don't know the voice of the Good Shepherd until they're born again. So the infusion of everything that God does on planet Earth starts with people. It starts with people. In fact, praying the right prayer, I'll say it and then I'll clarify it. Praying the right prayer is almost, that's wrong. It's not almost, it has everything to do with the answering of that prayer. Praying the right prayer according to the mind of Christ. I'll clarify by saying that has nothing to do with legalism. That has nothing to do with man's taught. Okay, I've got to check this off and check that off. Dot my I's, cross my T's. But praying the right prayer is absolutely paramount in regards to releasing your faith towards God and God getting involved in the only avenues that He can, which is through human authority and those who know Christ. Can you give me an example, Pastor? Sure. When you say, God, go save them, that's a blanket prayer, and He loves that. He hears that. But as you grow in Christ, you'll understand that He's got a far greater reaching mind than just a blanket prayer. He said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, would send forth laborers. I remember years ago, amazing two times I've quoted from him this morning, Kenneth Hagin said he was riding down the road, and he'd been praying for somebody. He said, God, save that person. God, save that person. And the Holy Spirit said to him, he said, I didn't ask you to pray, God, save that person. He said for months he'd been praying for them. He said, I instructed you out of my word to pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into their harvest. In other words, get somebody, get an atmosphere around them so I can. He said he prayed that prayer in faith when he heard God, and God's word confirmed it. And it was like within, I can't remember now exactly, but I want to say it was like 24 hours or 48 hours, that person was introduced to somebody else, or something happened through people, and they got born again. It was a short period of time. It just happened just like that. You can pray, God, my son. Now, God will do anything He possibly can get him out. God, get my children. You know, God, you know, they need a job, or they need another car, or they're in rebellion. And He doesn't really care about that in the sense of how much He loves them. But sometimes people will start, they'll pray. You know, you're standing in the gap for somebody, and they're out there in the world. And then we start praying for them for the situations. They got their court date coming up. And would you pray with me, Pastor, that they get favor with their probation officer? I'm not making light of that, and I'm not condemning that. But see, that's putting, Band-Aids on what cannot be fixed with Band-Aids. That youngin's running. He needs a job. He needs a truck. He needs
you know, he needs to get a job so he can pay his alimony, or he needs to, would you pray, Pastor? Sure, sure. But those are all Scotch tape band-aids or Scotch tape. That's not going to fix you trying to get them and all your friends out of those fruit obstacles when the Holy Spirit says through Jesus, I'm not praying for the world, because the world's got to receive the infusion of grace that comes through my people. I'm praying for my disciples. Through their work, I'll be manifest to men. See, that son or daughter or family member or this and that and the other, it all hinges on them getting a revelation of who Jesus is. Because as soon as you bail them out today, they're going to have problems again tomorrow. So praying the right prayer is this. It always goes back to that place of them receiving Christ into their life. Them, in other words, most all those super or all those prayers become pretty superficial until that root is dealt with. And then a lot of times he'll meet those outside things just to show them that he loves them. But he's always after the root. Hallelujah to God. What verse? And all mine are thine, he says, and thine are mine, verse 10, and I am glorified in them. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come unto thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Pause again. Folks, appreciate it when you're able to witness to your lost friend. But understand this, the world hates you. Why does it hate me? Because I'm of a different species. Jesus said here, the world has hated you. Well, these guys hadn't even lived out their ministry. They were just about to start it. And he said, it's hated you. Why has it hated you? Because it hates me. And if it hates me, it hates you also. Hallelujah. Ring, ring, clue phone. You're not going to be able to hang around your unsaved friends. You can have dinner with them. You can have lunch with them. But you can't hang with them. You're of two different species. In other words, you're not going to be able to get together all the time and just enjoy life with them. Now, your family, the kids that you birth and those kinds of things, they're always going to be with you, so you're not separating from them. We're talking about the choices that you make, the lifestyle that you form for yourself. He says, and now I come to thee, and these things, verse 13, I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Reading it again. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. See, this is to you, this is to me. He's saying that to them, but this is to you and I. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. That sanctification meant I'm going to the cross. I'm giving myself over to this finished work. I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. This is a 2011 prayer right here. I'm not praying for just these 11. I'm praying for everyone that will hear their word. I've heard their words. I am standing in Jesus' prayer today, and you are too. This prayer has come all the way down through the centuries, and I'm standing in it. I'm standing in the anointing. How would you like to pray a prayer that lasts 4,000 years? And yet, we do have the opportunity, as sanctified men and women of God, to pray prayers one for another, and to stay on the wall one for another, and to minister one for another, and dream dreams one for another, and to perceive things in the spirit one for another. See, this isn't a one-man show, and I know that you know that. But as I'm going forth in the Holy Ghost, I'm believing that there are some sanctified men and women out there that are getting past their own struggles enough that they're seeing into the spirit to the revival that's coming for all of us. And they're sanctifying themselves as such. See, the enemy wants to do this. He wants to keep you in such a fight for your own survival, keeping your head, trying to keep your head above water, whether it's finances or physical or marriage or whatever. That's all. It's all a distraction. Yes, against you for your own personal edification. But is however much you're invested in, which usually, have you ever think about this? Even when you love God, when your body is sick or it's fighting something, if you take toll of yourself, do you know that's about the only thing that you think on? When that pain is there, it is hard. You may do everything you possibly can, but when you lay down at night, if you were to take inventory of your thoughts, and if there are thousands of thoughts that go through your brain on a daily basis, the majority of them will be on that necessity in your body. And it'll circumvent itself in so many different ways. You'll be thinking about that. You're not trying to be selfish, but the owie in your life is what you'll concentrate on the most. If you've got an evil report, if the finances aren't there, that's where you'll be at. If the marriage is having a problem, and the enemy does all of that so that you never sanctify yourself into a place where you're a positioned person on the wall. Now I'm prophesying this morning, positioned on the wall where you're getting dreams, where you're getting visions, where you're saying behind the scenes, God, I see what you're wanting to do in our church. I see what you're wanting to do in the body ministry. God, I'm asking you, you're seeing this and you're praying for those interventions. You're praying for those birthings. And you're praying also when you see against the wicked one. When he's trying to make invasions into the body. When he's trying to bring confusion. And you may have got it in a dream. You may have got it in a witness. You may have got it in your prayer. But you're standing there as men and women of God, hearing things, seeing things, and sanctifying yourself unto truth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Isn't that good? I didn't even know that I was going to do this morning. I'm not worried about anything else. I'm just listening to him. Maria, I wanted you to share something. And I asked you earlier if that was okay. This is just a little example. We're supposed to be taking communion this morning. And this has everything to do with it. But I'm listening to God as I go along. I want to say preface. Sometimes it does good to preface something so people don't rescind their agreement. But as one of the elders that are on the wall, among many of you that are, several months ago, probably a year ago, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me just in a little tiny kind of warning about things like Facebook. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm against that at all. I think it can be a wonderful, wonderful thing for people to have. But I got a warning in my spirit, and I started doing battle behind the scenes. I started praying for my elders. I started praying for people in the church. Because one of the things that I began to see was, I began to see that there was such an investment of time that it was, one, a time robber. It could be a tremendous time robber. The other thing I saw was that it could invest people into other people's lives that was not profitable for them. And that people would get involved with arguments. First of all, I want to tell you, this sounds blanket, but you can take it to the bank. Nobody ever got changed through an argument. Paul said, don't argue with them. If they want to hear the truth, then give it to them. Give it to them. But he goes on to, if you'll read those books that Candy's been talking about, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, he goes on and on to say, don't strive with them. Get away from any kind of strife. He said, questions that gender strife. In other words, if they want to fight about it, well, I can now argue them. Yeah, but you're not going to change them. You're not going to change them. But it's amazing to me. I was listening to the Holy Spirit, and about that time, then somebody else got a dream or a vision or however this. And I know this all goes along with body ministry. It's all body ministry. And there's where we're at this morning in body ministry. We went back a few weeks ago and talked about the edification of the body. But I wanted Maria to share this morning, and just share. Don't be inhibited time or whatever the Holy Spirit wants you to say.
About a year ago, I had a dream, and in the dream, Pastor Homer was preaching, and I was sitting in the back, and he had asked me in my dream to find the definition of a word, and the word was jostle. And I had a dictionary, a huge dictionary, and I was sitting in the back, and in the natural, I pride myself in spelling words and knowing definitions. And in my dream, I found the word, but I couldn't find the spelling of the word. Jostle means to fight and to, I don't know if you've seen the men on the horses where they've got the big long sticks and they're trying to knock each other off the horses. That's what jostle means. And in my dream, once he called me and he was saying, well, what's the meaning of the word jostle? And I couldn't get him the meaning. There were different ways of spelling. And in my dreams, the Lord always gives me words and names, and I can see them and remember them the next day. The next morning. So in my dream, I couldn't ever give him the definition. And in the dream, he was saying, it's okay, don't worry about it. You know, you'll find it, you'll remember. And I was kind of getting upset because normally I would have found the word I'm thinking, but I couldn't in my dream. So I woke up the next morning after Matt had left, and I was reading the word. And when I opened the word, I went to Nehemiah, and I started reading. And I'm thinking, I've never read this book. I don't remember ever reading this book. But, Lord, I'm going to trust that this is where you want me to. So I kept reading, and I went up to Nehemiah 2:4, and it said, the chariots shall rage in the streets, they shall jostle one against another in the broadways. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, that's the word. And in my dream, I kept spelling it with a U, and in the word, it's spelled with a no, and I'm like, that's the word. I'm like, Lord, what does that mean, to jostle? So I went to look it up, and I just was meditating. And we had been maybe 6 months on Facebook. Already by that time, I was already getting pretty disappointed with just what I was seeing, things that even I was even participating in. With people are so quick to put out a comment, and I thought, you know, that's our cowardice that comes out, because we're so quick to put that word out there. A statement that could be against someone or try to elicit some type of reaction from people. We put it out there. We don't have to respond. We don't even have to look at it. It's just out there. And so I kept feeling like it had something to do with that. And I was seeing things where people are just going back and forth. I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to be involved in something that's going to be eliciting and not glorifying the Lord. Just, you know, just outright being mean. Mean, cutting down on each other, putting something out there that's pretty personal. At the time, someone, a family member, had put a comment up, and I couldn't understand why we were putting comments out there. It was almost like we were putting comments on family members, and we're leaving them out there unprotected for everybody to come out and say, oh, look at that, you know. Pastor Homer spoke June. This was, I went back in my journals. I try to be faithful with writing down what he gives me. That was June 10th of last year. Pastor Homer spoke on Facebook and things that he was also, the Lord was bringing him to. And that was June 9th of this year. And when I heard him, something he said, and I was reminded of that dream, and the Lord said, share with him the dream that you had about the word jostle. So I believe that he doesn't want us spending our time doing that. That's not edifying. You know, our words are to give life, not death. And Facebook, what the Lord has taught me is, it's to bring me glory, to give him glory, not my glory. Not to knock people down, not to even, it's almost like a forum for busybodies. You have nothing else to do. You're on there, and it takes so much time, so much time. I appreciate seeing and catching up with people. I love to see, we got to see Aubrey's picture. Thank you. As soon as she was born, it's like, you know, let's see the baby. We love that. We love that. But there's so much other stuff that's out there. And I felt what the word said is, the chariots shall rage in the streets. That's where they should be racing, in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broadways. The broadways are the sidewalks, the places where people should be able to walk without being in jet, without fearing of being running over, being trampled on. So that was the word that the Lord gave with Facebook.
I felt like that was so significant. And again, I'll clarify, we're not, this message today is not against Facebook. It is for body ministry and what we're hearing, and whatever comes. See, the scripture she read, and I hope you caught that, and it was, she said it perfectly through the Holy Spirit. How does it, I'm sorry, I got you closed, but it says that it'll jostle in
the chariots shall rage
in the streets.
They shall jostle one against another in the broadways.
In the broadways are the sidewalks. That's the places where people ought to be able to come and go. In other words, you know what that is saying to us prophetically? Done wrong, this spills over into people's personal lives where it shouldn't have any business. And the enemy will suck you into stuff. See, I like people knowing stuff, but I also like my personal life too. I don't want to Twitter you and let you know that I just went to the bathroom. Because it stinks. And I don't care. You ain't that important to me.
He did give me correction. I'll share my correction.
Please.
He gave me correction. I had a family member that had responded. And I responded. And then I got a negative response. And the Lord said, were you really that surprised? You know, it wasn't bad, but to his standards, it's bad. It wasn't bad in the natural. And people say, oh, well, that, you know, that was, it was almost funny. No, if you knew it was going to elicit that response. So then he said, you go back, you publicly, that's out there in the open. Now you go and you apologize and you humble yourself to that person in public. The same way you were easy, you carelessly put that comment on there, now you go and you. So I did. And then I went back and deleted the comment that I had made. But I apologized to her in public. And since then, I've been very, very careful what goes on. If it doesn't glorify the Lord, then I'm not putting it on there.
You guys going to pray now or whenever? Okay, we'll just stay up here for... This has everything to do with revival. Because it's the foundation of where we're going forward. Paul said concerning... See, we're getting an invasion, and a good invasion of modern things. But I wish every modern thing... Because we're using a website. There was another good website that started this past week. Life Dictionary. Hallelujah. Stand up, good-looking black man. All right. What's a Life Dictionary?
LifeDictionary.org.
Can I say something? Yeah, now he's wanting to preach. My God. Yeah, I guess you can.
It's interesting how...
Come over here in the middle.
It's interesting how when Maria was talking about it, and I just remembered how I would go to pastor because I was dealing with a lot with... Life Dictionary has over, in total, about 300,000 followers now. So those are people, whatever I say, they suck in whatever I say, they receive it. So I had to be careful how I deliver it, everything. And I remember I was dealing with a lot of Christians. They're quick to argue, and kind of it, how you said, both sides get mad, nothing gets solved, and they're non-believers who look at it as, wow, if this is how Christians really interact with each other, why would I need your God? I mean, that's what one time the Holy Spirit revealed to me. Like, I mean, where's the love? If you guys can't love each other, then how are you going to express love to those who don't even believe? And I would go to pastor a lot for certain advice, and a lot of it, kind of those warnings, were what I kept receiving. And I made a lot of adjustment to, okay, it wasn't about me. I start taking more of myself out or just posting. I start spending less time on there. And I mean, a lot of it, it's really serious. In social network, you could get so caught up. Me being, I network on every site, you could get so caught up where you're distracted to not doing God's work, first of all. And also, you're just hurting people where only steer them further away from God than they would ever get closer to God.
So. Hallelujah. Great testimony. Thank you. Thank you. Now, here's the other thing, too. I wish that every modern piece of technology that's going to be used by the Holy Spirit also came with a use at a mature risk. I wish that every Facebook site had a breathalyzer, like those guys that can't start the car. Because they're on probation for DUI, they can't. If you got alcohol in your breath, the engine won't turn over. I wish to everybody that says I don't have time to pray, that every time they went to click the mouse to say I'm going on Facebook, that the Holy Spirit would have a pop up on there and say, "Have you been praying? Have you been spending time in the Word? Because you just said," and I know people don't think they're lying and they don't really believe they are. You just said, I'm trying to find time to pray and I'm trying to find time to read the Word. You know what? All of us do whatever we want to do. Pastor, I don't have time to exercise. I don't have time to read the Word. I don't have time to pray. You do. I know you're mad at me about this. You do exactly what you want to do. It's just in other areas. I choose what I want, you choose what you want, and it might be yours might be fine too. But I wish that every time you clicked out, not in condemnation, but the Holy Spirit just reminded you and said, hey, check off this. Is your prayer time done today? Before you get involved in this, is your prayer time done? Whoa. Praise God. The main part, let me skip, and then I'm going to have some people just pray. why he took us down this road, I'm not going to say I won't know, because he is the one who sanctifies us. Let me continue to read. He said, neither I pray for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me. Don't get caught up in all these words, wordy words. Just listen. And I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, that's the new nature. Christ was conceived or given that new nature that we have. I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that perfect in one is the one that we call the Messiah. We're all perfect in him. And our oneness is this. This is where the church messes up. Our oneness is in the new nature. We're not one in mind, although the new nature has a mind. And as we follow the mind of Christ, we'll all gravitate towards his mind. But people try to solve their problems in life. The church tries to solve their problems in life, their differences one with another, by believing that they can straighten things out with their mind. When Jesus said, we are one and you have made us one, the one that he was talking about was, you have brought us, I in you, you and me, you've made us one. And the what made the Father and Christ one was the new nature. He had the same nature of his Father. Now he says, we have the same new nature that Christ had. So we're one with him, and we're one with the Father, and that makes us one in him, one in the one. Why is that important? Because listen, when you try to settle your differences with people and people in the church and people, family members out there, you say, is that important? Paul instituted in the book of Corinthians, and we're not going to go there today because for the sake of time, that one of the reasons why that we would take this bread, he said, the Lord's body was broken so our body doesn't have to. And he was talking about there's a glorified body of Christ in heaven, and there's a spiritual body of Christ here on this earth. Now, I know that he was using his body that was suffered down here to bring us into attention that you and I don't ever have to be separated. Now, we're one, but that one is not in mind. The Spirit does have a mind, but it's secondary. What brings us together, what gravitates us together, what we totally agree on always is this: we're one in Christ, and we're going forward in him. And Paul said his body was broken. See, I don't even like for this loaf to be broken. But nevertheless, his body was broken so that none of us ever have to be broken. That's the typology. That's it. It's all in him. So why is that important? When you're settling your differences, know this, that it's not by you working it out through a process. See, I know how, and am learning, haven't got there yet, but I know how to turn God loose on a problem and not be fixing it with my mind, be fixing it in the Spirit. Is it important? Oh yeah, Paul said, look, for this cause many are sick. Again, that's not a blanket. It's not all the causes. But he said, for this cause many are sick and weakly among you, and many sleep. What was he saying? That cause was something he identified earlier in the chapter, which was division, which was strife. And he said, for this cause, the body, resident diseases get in people, resident problems that just won't go away. And Paul said, if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged like the world is judged. Because the world can't get that stuff out of them by a prayer of saying, Lord, you've made me one with the man across the street or the part of the body that I cannot agree with in my mind right now. But Lord, I'm turning you loose so that that oneness that is with you and with the Father is also circumvented to them as well. You'll get out there. And until that happens and the minds come together and the emotions come together, Lord, I'm turning you loose so I can sit back here and my body can enjoy all the effects of health and healing so that there's no resident stress and disease and abnormalities and all the kind of things that attack the world, he said. We could be free from that. We get free from it. Now, his body was broken, so we don't have to. Hallelujah. Which leads us to this. The more you're healed, the more you're free here, do you know what happens? You turn that freedom to the church. You stand on the wall and you have dreams and say, you know what? I would have missed this dream last night if we would have fought like cats and dogs. Or maybe we did fight like cats and dogs and I got under the blood just before I went to sleep and the Holy Spirit came. If I'm walking around in some kind of strife, I don't hear your voice because all I'm doing is fighting that place. Listen, there will always be trials that come against you. Always. Here's the thing, though, and I know you feel the same way. I don't want to prolong my trial any longer than it has to be. I want it over now. I want my body healed now. I want to be free from stress now. How do you do that? The Bible says, with His stripes, we are healed. Do you know that if you look that up and look at that, even going back to the shadow, that healing of stripes was not just for the body, but it was healing for any kind of emotional difficulty that you were going through as a result of division with other people. And do you know it has a major part of what you receive? I remember what Kenneth Copeland said many years ago. I was listening to him and he said he saw a vision and he saw this huge conduit that's like a big pipe. You've heard me say this before. And he said the pipe was so big at the top where heaven was at, it just like, whew, there was a cascade of glory. It was like whatever you needed, finances, healing, deliverance. It was like all of heaven was invested in it. It just poured into this pipe. He was on earth waiting for all of this mega blessing. And he's waiting. He saw it from its beginning source. And then he's back at the end result. And when it comes out, it's just a drop. It's just a trickle. And the Holy Spirit said, purge the pipe. Purge the pipe. He got a view. He looked up in that pipe. He got a view from a spiritual standpoint. And circumvented, or all in that pipe was the clogging, if you want to put it that way, the residue of indifferences, all kinds of strifes, things that were never released. And when they began, it was perfect, and it was intended to be more than enough. And as it made its way to the individual, it got less and less and less until at the end it was barely enough to call a blessing. And God said, purge it. And he said, how? He said, you got to get in a place where forgiveness and love just flows from you. It just flows. It just, God, just flow so that nothing's restricting that place. His stripes. If I had a problem where I was having a problem where I just really, really was facing a problem with somebody, and that's not a condemnation. I'd get up every morning or late at night when I put the kiddies to bed or husband went to bed or she went to bed. I'd go in there and I'd get me a cup of something, grape juice, orange juice, something, and go to the pantry and pull me off a cracker or a piece of bread. I'd get down over the Word of God and I'd call myself whole by His stripes. I am healed. I receive this into my life so that I can walk totally free, so that everything that you want to get over to me, Father, gets over to me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Marty and Gay, would you come and stand over here? Matt and Marie, would you come and stand over here? I'm going to ask, you can all be just seated for a moment. I want, it doesn't matter, husband and then wife, or wife then husband, but I want them to pray whatever the Holy Spirit says for them to pray over this offering of God in communion, over our lives, our families, our marriages, or whatever the Holy Spirit says. And we're going to enter into that prayer. You don't have to do anything except sit and be bathed in it, in the communion that we're about to receive, this oneness that comes not through mind, but through spirit, is going to take us into revival. Satan hates it. He's fought it before. He'll fight it again. But guess what? God wins. And Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. And the example that we saw this morning as someone that was on the wall and didn't know that necessarily they didn't lay down and think, I'm going to be on the wall tonight. This happens to many of you. Many of you are receiving visions and dreams, wisdom on the understanding. You're saying, maybe you see something where you say, you know what? And it's okay if you did come to me, but almost all of this just comes as incidental. I mean, I become aware of it incidentally, like through a process. But if you're hearing God, and God is saying, pray for the church in that specific area. Listen to His voice. Go forward. Win. We need you to win so that we can all win. Hallelujah. And this is offered to us. This Lord's table is offered to us quite often around here for this purpose, that we continue to judge ourselves. Hallelujah. Men and ladies, please pray over us. I'll sit and be purged under it.
Father, we just lift our hearts to You, Lord. Father, You come with Your fire to just purge us. Burn all that keeps us, Lord, from loving You and from loving each other rightly, Lord. Father, just continue to search our hearts, Lord. Jesus, we thank You. We thank You that we know You and that we can come today. Partake of Your body. I praise You and I worship You, Jesus.
Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask You, Lord, for grace. Lord, grace even for this, to submit ourselves to You, Lord. You said in Your word, who can know his errors? So, Lord, it's not even up to us to find them. You reveal these things in light. And so we just present ourselves to You, Lord. We come boldly by the blood of Jesus. Just ask You for light to reveal those things that hinder us in loving You, Lord, and us in loving each other. They're so closely tied together, they're even one, Lord. So God, take us into a place right now by Your grace of just pure and simple devotion to You, that we do these things because You loved us first, Lord. We do these things to please You and to honor You, to honor Your love to us, Lord, and to honor Your love in us, Lord, and to honor Your love through us. So in simplicity, we ask You for grace in Jesus' name.
Father, just thank You that Your blood has made us so free. Free from division and free from strife. That we can just go to You and ask You for the things that we need. And I like to say things like this, and it's from Gary Carpenter, but we use it a lot at our house. And I like to say things like, you know, pass the godly husband for my daughter. You know, pass the good job. And when you're free like this, you can just go right up and say such things. He'll let you talk to Him that way. You know, pass the money, because He knows you need it. There's nothing wrong with money. And because you're free, there's nothing wrong with you having it. Mm-hmm. So, on your behalf, I ask for it for you because I know I'm free. And I ask for it that you will have good things, plenty of money, and excess. And we rebuke the devourer off of it for you. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, Lord. I do see us sitting around the table of the Lord. I see the Father at the one end and the Lord Jesus at the other. And because of the Lord Jesus' finished work, I just say, Father, pass the peace, Lord. Pass the freedom. I just see us there. Father, oh, I thank you, Lord. Pass the wisdom for the gospel entrepreneurs in this church, Lord. Oh, I see the wisdom, Lord. I see it, Father. Father, because of Jesus, pass the godly husbands and the godly wives for the people here that want to start godly homes. Pass the freedom. Oh, I see the freedom, Father. Pass the purity, Lord, for these young people so they can walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they've been called. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, and Father, I ask for this body here, Lord, that you'd pass the unity. My mouth waters for the unity, Father. Pass the unity, Lord, so that we can be of one accord, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, because of you and your finished work, Lord. Because of our new natures, we are in one accord. And Father, I thank you that we are watchmen on the wall. That we can see the enemy coming because we're diligent, Lord. We're alert and we're awake. And we see the enemy coming. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will give us the words to speak to that enemy, to engage that enemy. That instead of agreeing, Lord, we'll begin to speak against that enemy. I know, Lord, this week you've shown me that there were times when I was on the wall and I noticed a rustling in the bushes, a commotion where the enemy was coming. And instead of speaking against that enemy, or instead of coming to you, Holy Ghost, and creating a dialogue between me and you where you could tell me what to say, I began to agree with it by just saying what it was. And I know, Lord, that you'd have us to battle in the spirit and not in the natural. Lord, we've taken up those natural arms, those natural armor, and we've put it on. And Lord, all these things we know are done in the Spirit. Lord, let us not pick up those tools. Let us not pick up that armor that's of the natural mind. We're trying to take care of these things in the natural. Help us to take care of them in the Spirit. Help us, remind us, Holy Spirit, to begin a dialogue with you, Holy Spirit, that says, what are we supposed to be saying? What are we supposed to be doing? Holy Spirit, you speak to us. You are alive. You are well. And we commit ourselves to you. Holy Spirit is our teacher in this place. We submit ourselves to you as students. We humble ourselves before you, Holy Ghost, knowing that you know our destiny, that you know our call, that you know the calls of each one here. And you know the giftings, Lord, that they need to qualify that call. And Lord, that we would have a heart for our brothers and sisters in such a way where we want nothing less than 100-fold for them. We want nothing less than the manifestation of that call, because they are a joint and they're the only one that can do it. We want to remember, Lord. We want to remember our brothers and sisters. And your word says that we shouldn't cast our pearls before swine.
we shouldn't judge our brothers and sisters. So I just say for everyone here that we will no longer do that. Forgive us for every time we have. We will not judge our brothers and sisters. But we will pray earnestly for them. We will say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their lives, and they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. They walk worthy. They walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they've been called. Each one, Father. Help us to remember, Holy Spirit. Help us to remember to keep that pipe pure. And that pipe is pure when we do not judge our brothers and our sisters. That pipe is pure when we do not take offense and we do not give offense. It's all because of you, Jesus, and we worship you. Your body was broken, so this body does not have to be broken. And we call it whole before you, Father, without splinter, without division, without strife. We call it whole before you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, I thank you that Immokalee is in revival. Our homes are in revival. Our offspring is in this revival. Our little ones, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for as much as we want this for each other. We want it for the entire world and many more brethren that are out there. We join in with theirs. We receive. Now bless all these. And as we come together and receive this Lord's body and His blood, may it be done for our edification in Christ, and we give you all the glory and praise.